that actions have ramifications. I had a friend of mine a little over 39 years ago, got drunk. Senior in high school, 6 foot 2 inches, about 235. He got drunk. And they drove. And they wrapped themselves around the telephone pole. One guy walked away. My friend, Bob, did not. He was DOA. That was 39 years ago. And I think to myself about that event, which changed his orientation big time, because I have no idea where he is. And it also changed my life in terms of my thinking of what life is like, what is it all about. And it was just amazing to me. The ramifications of actions. If I go up to somebody and punch them in the face, there's going to be ramifications, especially if they carry a Ranger tab from the United States Army. Ramifications. Ramifications of actions. And I want us to look at a passage of Scripture that really talks about ramifications, but powerful ramifications that I think that will, Lord willing, be a tremendous blessing to us. And it's 1 Corinthians 15. Would you turn there with me? 1 Corinthians 15. The ramifications of Jesus of Nazareth, who died on a cross, was buried, and the ramifications of his physical resurrection. His physical resurrection. The physical resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ brings us three ramifications for our lives. Three ramifications for our lives. How does the physical resurrection of Jesus Christ affect you? What is the ramification for you? And so I want us to look at these. The physical resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ brings us the ramification of our destiny. We see that in verses 51 through 53. And then also the physical resurrection brings us the ramification of our deliverance, verses 54 through 57. And it also brings us the ramification in verse 58 of our deportment. Not department, deportment. The way we carry ourselves. The physical resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ brings us the ramification of our destiny. Look at verse 51. I'm going to read it. He is concluding here an argument all the way through chapter 15. He's talking about this section. He's talking about the physical resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's making the strong point, the biblical point, the inerrant point that Jesus Christ rose again from the dead physically. Not a ghost, not like some Casper the ghost or something like that. No, Jesus Christ rose again from the dead physically. And now he's going to bring in the issue of the ramifications of this. Verse 51, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. three ramifications. In verses 51 through 53, we see the ramification of our destiny. I love this. When I get to heaven, gonna walk with Jesus. When I get to heaven, gonna see His face. Ba-ba-ba. When I get to heaven, gonna walk with Jesus. I don't know the rest of the words. Something about His glorious face or something like that. I want, and then the girls go, I want to go there, you know. But I like this because it's sealed. It's certain. 51, look at this. Behold, I show you a mystery. It is the destiny. It is our destiny. Behold, I show you a mystery. This word mystery is used, or mysteries, is used 27 times in the New Testament. 22 times as mystery, 5 times as mysteries. It's the Greek word mysterion. It means something hidden in the mind of God that was not revealed until He revealed it. And Paul uses it of the church. And Paul also uses it here. He uses it various ways, but he uses it here, the mystery. But what is the mystery? Behold, I show you something that was hidden in the mind of God that didn't get revealed until now. That's exactly what he means by this. I show you something was in the mind of God, but now I'm gonna, God now revealing it to you. I show you a mystery. And this is what he means. This is what he's going with this. And what is that mystery? We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. I love this. We shall not all sleep. Now, what is he talking about? We shall not all sleep. You might be saying, I'm taking Sominex tonight. We're not talking about... We're not talking about that sleep. We're talking about we shall not all die. And this is what he is saying. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. What is he talking about? And then verse 52, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. He's talking about something that the Thessalonians needed to know. And they were ignorant of it. Keep your finger here, we're coming back. But we're going to the left, or actually to the right a little bit, to 1 Thessalonians. Stuff easy for me to say. 1 Thessalonians, chapter 4. I'm sure you're very familiar with this passage, but we're going to go familiarity again. We're going to be more familiar with it because the Thessalonians were ignorant. Verse 13 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. It says this, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them who are asleep. Notice that word again. They were asleep. He's talking about that they had died, that they were asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again. Oh, see, in 1 Corinthians 15, he's talking about the resurrection. Isn't that true? In verses 3 and 4, he talks about Christ died according to the Scripture and was buried and rose again from the dead. And in 15, he defends that whole issue of the physical resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul writes to the Thessalonians, they were ignorant. He said, I don't want you to sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again. See, there you are. You've got the articles of faith of what a person must know in order to be saved. But if we believe those things, even so them who also sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not go before or precede them who are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend with a shout, from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. So all those people, like my mother, who went to be with the Lord, she'll go before us. Well, if we're still here and the rapture takes place, and this is so cool. I love this. Boom. This is what's going to happen. Now by the word of the Lord, by the way, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. It is a comfort. Everybody's going by the rapture. You say, well, the rapture. What is the rapture? Thank you for asking the question. I appreciate it. The rapture, it comes from the Latin. And notice in verse 17 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, it says, we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together. This is the word to be caught up. It means literally from the Greek, it means to be snatched away with violence. Remember how I used to have this friend I worked with, and he had this, he thought he was doing the kung fu thing, and he thought he was like, oh, weed hopper, you know. And I remember at the time he had his earrings in his hand. I don't know why he had earrings in his hand, but he had them. And he goes to me, he goes like this, he goes, oh, almost with an Asian accent. This guy was from Parma, Ohio. Anyway, he's like, go ahead, take them from me. And I knew that I had to move like a cat, you know? And I went just like this. And I went, ha! And he had his fist, and he's like, certain that I was slow as molasses. And he goes, ha ha. And I went, ha ha. I snatched it away with violence. And that's where this word means. To be caught up means to be snatched away with violence. Boom. Right? The Latin Vulgate translates that phrase to be caught up, rapturo. To be snatched away with violence, rapturo, where we get the word in the English, rapture. So that's why I say we believe in the rapture. And then he says this, be caught up together with them in the clouds, and so to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. What a comfort. What a comfort. And it said it, and go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, if you would, please. He says, behold, I show you a mystery. Remember we talked about that? Something that was hidden in the mind of God and not revealed until now through Paul, right? It was about the church. This is also dealing with the church. Because the church, it's a mystery. By the way, if you were to say, I believe in the second coming of Christ, with the British accent and everything, if you were to say that, that's no mystery. That's in the Old Testament. The church is not in the Old Testament. Thus, a mystery. And the disposition of the church, that is, the rapture, the snatching away by the Lord Jesus Christ, is also a mystery. Because that is not found in the Old Testament. It's found only in the New Testament. Cool, huh? That's why they call it a mystery. And that's why the scriptures indicate that. So back in 1 Corinthians 15:51, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. And this is cool. The first prepositional phrase of verse 51. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, in a moment. This word moment. This is cool. The way you spell this word in the Greek is A-T-O-M-O-S, atomos. It means this. It is a division of time, it is a section of time that cannot be divided. We might say it this way in our English. We might say nanosecond, thinking that we can divide this. When the word atomos is used, you cannot divide that moment of time. Or that section of time. This is the Greek word. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. That's why he uses that metaphor, in the twinkling of an eye. It's so fast. It's faster than old weed hopper getting the earrings from that kid. You know? It is so fast, it's incredible. Boom! That's what it is. Gone. Boom. No discussion. Bomb. Gone. Here we are. Oh, with the Lord. Oh my, this is cool. How's it going? I remember when you died. I attended your funeral. Oh, wow, we're here. This is so cool. All these people. And this life is going to seem like a dream to us. It's going to seem like a dream. Since we've been there 10,000 years. How's it go? Bright shine. Sing with me. Keep going, keep going.
We know.
Come on.
When we first begun.
We're going to be there 10,000 years and it's going to see, this life will seem like a dream. We're built for eternity. And it's going to just seem like a dream. And we're no more heartache, no more death, no more sagging, no more. You know, gravity is a curse, man. You know, how's it going? Schroeder's looking older, you know. And so, I mean, you know, all these things. Gone, deathlessness. And this is what the resurrection, the ramifications of this. It's our destiny to be raptured by Jesus Christ, to be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. Incorruptible. I love avocados. I do. Gotta get them good though. You have to have good hands for an avocado picker. That is to say, if you want one that's kind of ripe, it's got to feel a little. If it goes a little harder than that, don't buy it. $1.25, not worth it. It's going to be bruised. It's going to have dark spots in it. It's going to. You cut the thing open, you go, rip off. I've been ripped. You cut that thing open. But if you can go, if you can get the, just a slight, then you cut that baby open, it's ready to eat. Oh, and they're really good. But when I've got them open, you got big black spots. I'm not eating it. I'm not eating the black spots. I wanted to eat the black spots because I've been hungry. But I'm not eating the black spots in an avocado. Why? Corruption. Corruption. Well, this happens to us as well. But we will be raised incorruptible. No corruption. No macular degeneration. No teeth falling out. No, the big gravity. Now listen, at the rapture, I don't know how old we're going to be. I don't know. You're going to be like Jesus, his age. Will we lose weight? Look, we're going to recognize each other. I know that to be a fact. Because Peter, James, and John recognized Moses and Elijah and never was introduced. Ain't that a kicker? They recognized the Lord Jesus Christ. He was raised incorruptible, but he still had the nail prints, the thorns, and the whole, you know, and the side. And that's exactly what Thomas said. Oh, I've got to put my finger in the nail print of his hand. I've got to put my hand in the side. And when he saw the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus said to him, go ahead, put your finger in my hand, nail print of my hand. Put your hand in my side. Don't be faithless, but believe. What did he do? Oh, okay. No. He fell down and said, my Lord and my God. Wasn't a sign of surprise. It was absolute worship. And so this is what it's going to be for us. We are going to be raised. Oh, this is... Anyway... We're going to be raised physically. It is our destiny to be raised physically. We're raised incorruptible. We shall be changed. We shall be changed. Whether you're going to be the same age in terms of the way you look as the Lord Jesus, I don't know. And quite frankly, I don't care. I just know I'm going. And that's the thing is the most important thing to me. Verse 53, it says, for this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So our destiny is going to be not only the destiny of the rapture, but of regeneration physically and regeneration geographically. We will be immortal. Isn't that fantastic? That immortality means deathlessness. No more death. We get to heaven. We're not going to be worried about, hey, morticians. No way they're going to have any undertakers in heaven. Except unless they believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, their personal Savior. But they're not going to practice the art of morticians. Not going to at all. And so it's deathlessness. There will never be a discussion. You know, I don't know about, you know, the guy's looking good. He's looking old. You know, nobody's going to say that stuff. Deathlessness. Doesn't this thrill you? Oh, man, this really thrills me. I mean, I don't have to do CoverGirl anymore. You know, Oil of Olay. I'm going to throw that all out. And so I look at this and I say, it's our destiny. It is your, I want to say unequivocally, by the authority of the Word of God, if you know Jesus is your personal Savior, you're going to be raptured, you're going to be changed. That's what the Bible teaches. And I make no apology about being pre-tribulational, pre-millennial. And we can defend it. Okay. No questions about it. And some people say, oh yes, what about this verse and that verb and that conjunction? What do you think about those things? Not much. Okay. You misunderstood the conjunction. All right. So not only does the ramification of the resurrection bring about our destiny, but also the resurrection brings us the ramification of our deliverance. Look at verse 54. It's deliverance from death. Now you say, I thought you already talked about that. Well, we're going to go a little bit further. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, 1 Corinthians 15:54, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, oh, listen, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Death is swallowed up in victory. I love this. You know, my dad almost went broke. I'm going to tell about my father, Bob. This is my dad, Bob Schroeder. And I'm named Christopher Robert Schroeder. And I'm proud to have that middle name. And when I was growing up, I grew 5 inches in one summer. That's bad. My pants went just like this. I mean, they went, they just, man, it was bad news. And we used to have in the old days, I can't believe I just said that. Okay. We used to have the milkman would come. Dean's Dairy. And the milkman would come and he'd pull his truck up and he'd have, you know, most of the time, most people who had a milk delivery would have the guy come with one little, he had a tray thingy with all the milk bottles in it, quart milk bottles with the little caps, and he'd come walking, he could hear a clink, 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 clink. Oh, milkman's here, yeah. For us, he had two of them. Plus whatever I begged my mother for, you know, ice cream and all that kind of stuff. So he would come with these quart, and he put them on the back of our porch, and they would evaporate. I mean, they would evaporate. I didn't even use a glass when I was in high school. I used the bottle. No backwash at all. No backwash because I downed the whole thing. I put that was my glass. I popped the top. I'd go play basketball. I'd come in. I don't think I even swallowed. But I went, gone. And that milk was extinct. It's cool. That's exactly what the word means here. To drink down to extinction. Death is swallowed up. Drunk down to extinction. In victory. Drunk down to extinction in victory. It's used another time. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Turn there if you would, and duly mark it if you'd like. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 4 says this, "For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life." Same Greek word here, to drink down to extinction. Swallowed up of life. It's swallowed up in victory, swallowed up of life. In other words, death is gone. It was drunk down to extinction. And so we have been delivered from death. The resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ guarantees that death will have no more dominion over you. Isn't that fantastic? Drunk down to extinction. And so death is swallowed up in victory. Death is swallowed up of life. And also as deliverance from damnation. I will never go to hell. Verse 55, "O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is your victory?" There is no victory. Where is it? Where is it? It's gone. Why? Because Jesus Christ overcame death. One of the things I think as an evangelist or any Christian ought to be really careful about in talking to people about the Lord Jesus Christ is to show them what Jesus Christ has done. One of the beautiful things about coming at 9 o'clock here in our meeting, it's at 9:30 in Michigan, it says, "This do in remembrance of me." We remember the Lord Jesus Christ. We remember what He has done for us. And one of the things that He has done, I cannot separate who He is and what He has done. I can't separate the two. I want to worship Him, but I want to worship Him for what He has done for me. What a wonderful thing it is that He has done for me. I'm going to heaven. I'm no longer going to be corrupted. I'm going to be an immortal. I'm going to have immortality. He has done this for me. And I have that assurance because He has told it to me. And He has verified it not only in the Word of God, but historically verified it. And one of the beautiful things about being a Christian is it's true. And it is defensible. I love it. I double dog dare anybody to disprove. I triple dog dare them. To disprove the physical resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Come on! Any takers? Not just here, but secular universities. Let's talk about it. They can't. Because it's true. It happened. He did die. He did live in time and space. He did die on that cross. And He did rise again physically from the dead. Whether I want to believe it or not, it's still true. And why wouldn't I believe this? Why wouldn't I want to know that I could go to heaven? I've asked people sometimes, I've said to people that have really been doubtful, I said, "Look, I want to ask you a question." They go, "What?" This is after them being hostile. I said, "What do you got against God? What is it that you have against God? Why wouldn't you want to know that your sins can be forgiven? Why wouldn't you want to know that you can have eternal life? Why wouldn't you want to know these things? Why wouldn't you want to know that you will no longer die? Why wouldn't you want to know that you can be with loved ones forever because of what Jesus Christ did? Why wouldn't we want to know this? This is the most beautiful thing in the world. That's why they call it good news. It's the great. It's not right-wing political, social, political news. This is the good news. This is it. No matter what our country happens to our country, no matter what happens to this world, this is the best news. It's the only news that will make a difference. The only thing. So I know I'm delivered from being You know, where is death? Where is your sting? Where is your victory? Oh, grave, where is your victory? They might bury this mortal coil, but that ground's not going to hold it physically. Some fish or fishes might die at sea or something like that. Or get burned up in an airplane crash, you know, and boom, or whatever. The thing that's really kind of weird is, how about if I donate my body parts, you know? Well, the rapture, some guy's eye, you know, I mean, I don't know. Kidney, boom, you know. You know, I don't, God can reconstitute it. I'm just kind of kidding about that. But I'm telling you, and it's no longer. I'm delivered from this, and I have that assurance. Delivered from death, delivered from damnation. Look at verse 58. The sting of death is sin. That's why people die, it's because of sin. And it's not God's fault, it's our fault. And all of creation is groaning. It's because of us, not because of natural disaster. Natural disaster is taking place because of us. Because of our sin. And the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We just don't win. We win huge. Paul writes to the Romans. He said, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. The Greek on this one is really cool. We are preeminently victorious through him that loved us. We just don't win. We win huge. It's a walk away. It's not even close. So we have the ramification not only of our destiny and also our deliverance, but also the physical resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ brings us the ramification of our deportment. In light of all that, that we have just talked about, how do we carry ourselves? The word deportment. How do we carry ourselves? Look at verse 58. It's a steadfast deportment, unmovable deportment, abundant deportment, and everlasting deportment. Therefore, my beloved. And if you always see the word therefore, you always ask yourself the question, what it's there for? He's following the argument. This is like the crescendo. Have you ever been in a chorus or singing when somebody really can lead music and they're going, like the Overture of 1812, you know? You got Tchaikovsky's Overture of 1812, when you got Arthur Fiedler, you know, and this is supposed to be the great crescendo on July 4th, you know, in the old days. And he's going, dun, 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 dun. You know, it gets real dramatic, hair flying, but for me, it's just, you just imagine it, okay. Dun, 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 dun. Then they got the cans, you know, and all this kind of stuff. This is the crescendo. Therefore, my beloved brethren, in light of the rapture, in light of the physical resurrection, in light of the gospel, life-changing gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast. How do we carry ourselves? Because if you're like me, do you ever have somebody say, this life got you down, punky? Are things bad for you, punky? You know, you ever feel like that? I got this bill I can't pay. I live in Michigan, folks. More foreclosures than anywhere else in the United States. Got you down? You know, joblessness. Michigan. I think we're leading the league here. GM. Saturn just was bought by Penske. I mean, and I'm going to tell you something. It's just amazing. All the different things that could get you down. Stop watching the news. Listen to the good news. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. By the way, I just want to let you know, our God is still on the throne no matter what GM does. And our God is still on the throne no matter what Washington, D.C. does. our God is still on the throne. And in the light of his physical, the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ's physical resurrection, which trumps every nuclear power, weapon, anything, trumps it all. Because that's why Paul said, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. It is the power of God. It is the greatest power in the universe. And it is the power of God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is going to change my life. My destiny has changed. My deliverance has come, and it is there, and it is certified. And now how do I carry myself living this life? Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And it matters not if anybody sees this. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. We serve Jesus Christ. Paul tells the servants, he says to the slaves, we don't serve Christ for worldly gain. We serve him. Sight unseen, but we still serve him. So sometimes you might be feeling that nobody appreciates me. You're forgetting one person. In fact, you're forgetting the most important person, and that's Jesus Christ. We serve him. And I love that song, I serve a risen Savior, he's in the world today. Right? We serve him. No matter what anybody says, no matter what anybody sees, we carry ourselves as people who have been redeemed. Why? Because we've been redeemed. We have been redeemed. Therefore, my beloved brethren, don, be steadfast, unmovable. Oh, man. Always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. We looked at our destiny, we looked at our deliverance, and we need to look at how we carry ourselves from now on. I tell you that I had a paper girl. It was really funny. Name was Katie. I love the name Katie. I love the name Katie. My most favorite name. Is. She comes in, she's tall, beautiful Katie. Long blonde hair. Young. She comes walking in. I let her in the house. Barb's going to get the money for the paper. She's the paper girl. She's standing there like this. So, how you doing? Good? I said, well, that's good. And she blurts out, I'm related to the Queen of England. Okay. I pulled my socks back up. And I said, that's great. That's great. She goes, yes. Queen of England. I'm related to the Queen Elizabeth. Queen of England. Cool. She even has an iPod. I'm related to the King of the universe. I know him personally. Talk about a honking name dropper. I know God. I know God. And I'm not ashamed of that. I know him personally. And he has done for me what I could never do for myself. That is to save me and to give me a destiny and to deliver me and to give me the power to carry myself in deportment the way I carry myself now. And there's nothing better than this. Nothing. Nothing better than this. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. It was 38 years ago. 38 years ago that I trusted Christ as my personal Savior on the anniversary, the one-year anniversary of my friend Bob Miller's death. And I thought to myself, talk about ramifications. The ramification of trusting in Jesus Christ as my own personal Savior. That ramifications last forever. My destiny, my deliverance, and my deportment. Forever. And He shall reign forever and ever. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen?
Amen.
Father, we just ask You that You would help us to live in light of these great truths. And thank You for securing them for us through Your Son. Help us to live in light of it. In Jesus' name, amen.